old man. My life, I plan not to be on this corner. I still want to see California, but this is my world.
Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to an all-new edition of the It's Your World podcast presented by Team Media. For more information about the team, visit our website, www.theteam.media, or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at The Team LLC. We're also available on your favorite podcast streaming service, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, Tune In, and it grows every single week. So wherever you get your favorite podcasting content, look us up, The Team. For this particular episode, I want to take some time talking about the 2020 election, not just for president, but a few notable state and Senate races, as well as ballot measures across the country that are just up for consideration. And I will spend a considerable amount of time talking about California because it's my resident state, and there is just a lot going on here in California in 2020. Over the next couple of weeks, I do hope to have some guests, some candidates running for public office on this show. I'm really excited about it, and I'll give you more information as things are confirmed. But yeah, this is that crazy time, the stretch run. The first debate is already done. I do want to kind of give you my thoughts and feelings about that. And then to end this episode, I do want to talk a little bit about the life and legacy of the Supreme Court Justice who has passed away a few weeks ago, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I wanted to be patient before posting something. I didn't want to give an immediate reaction. But I think on this episode, I'm ready to finally give my thoughts and feelings about her passing. So a lot to get into tonight. We're going to take a quick break and jump right into it on the other side. So keep it tuned here.
Okay, kids, dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, pump your knee, nod your head, shake your hips, and bite your lip ever so slightly. Now, with one hand in the air, point at people with the other hand. I call that the rock star.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
Now, make a face like it just smells something bad.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So it's October, ladies and gentlemen, which doesn't just mean it's pumpkin spice season or harvest tree season or leaves falling, or even on the West Coast here in California, that it'll be 20 degrees cooler because it hasn't been. It's still in the 90s, if you can believe it. No, October ushers in the all too familiar and annoying ritual of the political campaign ad. And let me tell you, here in California, it did not even take September. Ads literally started flying across our airwaves back in June about all of the different propositions that were going to be on the ballot here in California. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the term proposition, it's another word for ballot measure or ballot initiative. Like those little questions they ask you on the ballot about how do you feel about things like voting in favor of a bond to build a school or to make road improvements or things of that nature. In California, especially in Northern California, we see something to the effect of 12 to 15 different measures, depending on what area you live, on the ballot this year. And I'm not even kidding about it. Where I live in Northern California, there are literally 12 different propositions that range from everything from stem cell research to allowing diversity as a factor in employment. So related to the repealing of Proposition 209, which was affirmative action, there's initiatives here about the money bail system. There's initiatives here about keeping Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash drivers as independent contractors versus forcing these companies to make them employees. There's all sorts of things happening this election season. And so I feel it is my duty to kind of come in front of prospective voters and, you know, give our opinion, give our take, and just to make sure people are aware of the value and the power of their vote this November. Because I'll speak for myself. I know me. I have been notorious for not paying attention to ballot initiatives. Need to build a school. How much does it cost? If it doesn't seem too unreasonable, I'd vote yes without really realizing the impact of where is this bond money coming from? Who is funding it? Who is supporting it? Who is against it? As I've become older and more wiser and just more in tune with the power of my vote and decisions to be made, I've paid a little bit more attention to who sponsors a certain initiative. And with so many, it just behooves voters to do some research. Just read a little bit about what's on the ballot this year and what a yes or no vote means. Because one of the things that I'm finding as I'm reading some of these initiatives is that the language is just very shifty and in some cases very shady. And we'll talk over this next month about certain propositions that I think Californians need to really, really pay attention to. But in advance of that, I just ask everyone, pay attention. One of the wonderful things California does, and hopefully people don't just throw it in the trash, is they send out a general election voter information guide. And my wife and I, we got ours about a month ago, and it was thick. It is literally almost 100 pages. It's actually over 100 pages, but it talks about all of the different propositions, who's supporting what measure. So if you're in California and you already threw it out, you can go to caearlyvoting.sos.ca.gov and retain another copy of that guide. I also think there are a number of different localities doing webinars and little series to kind of inform voters on what the different propositions mean and what a yes or no vote on these measures means. So I just invite everyone, do a little bit of research coming into this election season. And even if you live outside of California, just pay attention to who is putting money behind certain initiatives. It's not necessarily all bad or good. I don't want to make people skeptical because they see a big name or a big organization pushing a certain initiative. Some of what is being proposed across the country is actually really good. I just want people to be aware. And you're going to hear me say that a lot over the next 30 days. Just be aware of what you are voting for. And if you're not sure, take your time. A lot of states are enacting early voting or mail-in voting, which gives you a little bit more flexibility in terms of timing as to when you can make your vote. I just ask people, before you turn in your ballot this year, you know, make sure you do more than select your next president or select your next congressperson or select your next governor or mayor or whatever other state or local races you need to make decisions on, and really give some consideration to the different propositions. And like I said, we'll talk about what's going on here in California over the next 30 days. We're also hoping here at the team to have a few candidates who are running for state and local races on the show. I'm not going to make any promises or drop any names just because, again, with 30 days left, I know some of the people we have contacted and have preliminary agreements with. There's just a lot going on. I don't want to, you know, put people out there to not holding their word. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy in the life of a politician right now. So as we can make confirmations and get people on, we'll have them on. But if we can't, then, you know, it's understood that there's just a lot going on these last couple of weeks. But we also want to hear from you, the voters. And regardless of where you live, regardless of where you're tuning into this show, I want to know your perspectives. What do you see as some of the hot races, some of the important ballot measures happening in your state? And what can we do from a research standpoint here at the team to help illuminate and bring awareness to some of the things going on? Because there may be things happening that I, for one, am not aware of. And I try to do my best to like read the newspaper and watch news and stay informed. But there just may be things going on that we're not aware of that you want to bring some national attention to. So reach out to us, you know, reach out to me personally, DTJ@theteam.media. Hit us up on the website, www.theteam.media. Hit us up on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the Team LLC. Let us know what you're seeing and hearing and concerned about and want to bring some attention to this election season. So we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to give my thoughts and feelings about the life and legacy of the great RBG.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
You have developed quite a following among young people and young women in particular. You have the notorious RBG Tumblr. You have babies dressed up as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I'm wondering, what do you think it is about you that has captured the imagination of so many people?
The notorious RBG was started by a student at NYU Law School. And when the Tumblr first appeared, I asked my law clerks, what is this all about that I didn't know about Notorious B.I.G.? And then I discovered we had at least one thing in common, that we both grew up in Brooklyn. I think it's amusing. I think it's quite well done. There are some serious things on it. There are some funny things. And I have a supply of RBG, notorious RBG t-shirts that I give to law clerks for birthday presents and other people as well. The people who created notorious RBG came to court one day this term, and they sat in and watched the arguments and then came to my chambers, and we had a nice conversation.
These are people who find you inspirational. Do you think you're inspirational?
I just try to do the good job that I have to the best of my ability, and I really don't think about whether I'm inspirational. I just do the best I can.
Welcome back to the show. So I want to be very honest with all of you about this next segment with respect to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that my original intention was to do what most people in media do and rush on air to give some thought and opinion and prognostication about her life and legacy, because there's this big thing in media about being the first to say something. I just had this feeling, call it wisdom, to just take some time, take a step back and wait before giving thoughts and feelings and opinions, and really think about what I wanted to say to you with respect to her. And this is not to kind of hype you up or prime you to think what I'm going to say is positive or negative one way or the other. I really just wanted to be careful and thoughtful as I thought about this woman, this giant of a figure in society, and what she means to America, good, bad, or indifferent. to be given the moniker Notorious RBG already tells you that she had a lot of fans and a lot of enemies. You know, to liberals, she was a champion and stout supporter of their values and concerns, and did a lot from a Supreme Court perspective to champion those rights into the mainstream. To those who are more conservative, she seems to be a gatekeeper, ushering in statutes and ideas that have eroded the American society. And again, these are not necessarily my opinions. How you feel about her is probably heavily influenced by if you see yourself as a conservative or liberal. And even within that context, it doesn't necessarily mean you agree or disagree with her position and opinions on certain rulings. You can consider yourself, for example, very liberal and not like her stance on things such as gay rights or gay marriage and things of that nature. You may not like her opinions on Roe versus Wade, or you may consider yourself conservative, but also feel that a woman's right to choose is of uber importance in any initiatives or measures that are passed from a Supreme Court perspective with respect to it need to be championed and put in the forefront. So it's not easy to say you're one way or the other with respect to her legacy. But if we take a step back and just, you know, from a high level perspective and just recognize she is only the second woman ever nominated to the highest court in the land, the first being the great Sandra Day O'Connor, who is still living. That in itself is an achievement. A few years ago, there was actually a movie that came out about RBG that kind of talked about her life, her early work as a lawyer, and her ascension, her eventual ascension to the Supreme Court. And it is just a remarkable story of how she got to be where she is. And I invite those of you who haven't seen it to go see it. It would honestly take me this whole show just to kind of read through all of her accolades and all that she has done in her career, even prior to being on the Supreme Court. The work and the sacrifices that she has made in her career are just phenomenal. It's also important to keep in context that she was a wife and a mother. And I say that because sometimes when people ascend to high levels in society, you know, they become, you know, movie stars, multi-million dollar movie stars, or CEOs or sports stars, we tend to forget the human side of them. We tend to think of them as a status symbol or an ideal and forget that they're people. They came into this world the same way we come into this world, and they leave this world the same way that we leave this world. And so it's important to know that she suffered loss, you know, her husband dying 10 years ago. You know, she likely had some challenges balancing a career with motherhood. She went through a lot of different things in her life that will never make the news unless it's negative and scandalous or worthy of the news cycle. And so there for two kids, there is a mother who is now gone. There is a family connected to this woman who will grieve and mourn her death. And, you know, from a political standpoint, again, there are a lot of people who feel one way or the other based upon how their particular political views skew. And I just wanted to be careful to not make my thoughts and feelings about her about politics, because although there is a lot she has done, a lot that she has weighed in on the Supreme Court that has affected rights from a liberal conservative perspective, I don't think it's fair to just think of her in that context. I think it's equally important to think about her life as a woman, her life for the doors that she has opened for other women, and not even so much aspiring to be on the Supreme Court, but even those who looked at her life and wanted to pursue a career in law, in the practice of law, as lawyers, as researchers, in some other field, who were just inspired by her ability and her willingness to overcome so many obstacles and adversities to pursue her dreams. And to me, that's really the masterpiece of her story. That if you don't give up, if you really believe in your heart that you are called or destined to be something, and you put in the work and the will to get it, to achieve it, to be it, then your story will be inspirational to so many, because we bless each other with our stories. We bless and encourage, I should say, each other's with what we go through in pursuit of our own calling and dreams. And if I just leave it there, if I don't even bring up all of the political elements that make up her legacy, if I just leave it as she was someone who believed that she had a great calling and she was willing to do the work to aspire to it, that's enough. You can put that on a tombstone, close down the story, and be done. So to the great RBG, rest in peace. You know, you will be remembered for a lot of things, but from us, you will be remembered as a gentle giant who made a lot of important decisions that affected a lot of people, that garnered a lot of different feelings and emotions, but it was a life well lived. So a quick break, and then I want to give my thoughts and feelings about the first presidential debate and its aftermath. Keep it tuned here.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesmaned to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart savings strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
If you go to our website, www.theteam.media, you can see a blog post I made last week with respect to the 2020 election season and some of my written feelings about this upcoming presidential election and the motivations that some people are bringing into this election to vote one way or the other. I do give some thoughts that I do want to expand a little bit on about the first presidential debate. And similar to what I said in the last segment, I didn't want to rush on the air and just give thought. I wanted to kind of take a step back and think about what I wanted to say before I came out here. And I don't know that my thoughts have really changed much from what I was originally thinking, but hey, let's go. Yeah, one of the things I like to do as things happen, I like to sit back and watch what people whom I respect in media say, how they kind of position their thoughts and feelings, how oppositional thoughts and feelings kind of go, what is said in response to what I think are really, really intelligent takes. Sometimes you hear even more brilliant takes on the oppositional side. So I like to digest all of that, because I never want to be guilty of viewing news and media and life really from a single lens, because I truly believe God created life to be viewed and experienced multidimensionally, which is why we have more than one sense. But as I expected, I saw a lot of what I anticipated. So depending on the channel that you watched, you know, that kind of persuaded what you were told about whose fault it was that the debate ended up as it ended. You know, there are some on the more progressive liberal channels that would say, hey, if you saw the debates from 2016, Trump did exactly what he did then. And so we knew it was going to be a hot mess. If you watch some of the more conservative channels, they would say, you know, the president was who he was. It was Biden who was disrespectful to the sitting president. More independent channels would just say, basically, and I've seen memes on all over the place on social media, just talking about two old men, two grumpy old men, just yelling and screaming and fussing at each other. Again, it's all about what you feel, like how you are fed, how you consume your news and media, and what your own political persuasion may be, where you kind of lean conservative or progressive, to kind of know, like, all right, what take do I really subscribe to? Here's what I would say. You know, I just believe Americans deserve better. And that's not necessarily to point the finger or to say, you know, some of what we saw couldn't be prevented. You know, there are some people who felt like the whole moderation of the debate wasn't very good, that it was allowed to kind of go off the rails. You know, and again, on social media, I've seen a lot of memes, people talking about, well, we should have Madea or Samuel Jackson or some other type of moderator kind of keep control. And to me, that'll just make it even more messy, because then it truly becomes a television production, where really what we're doing is making a decision about the leader of our country. It should not necessarily be entertaining. This is about voters becoming informed. But I want to take a step back from that comment and just say, I also recognize that most people at this stage, they've already made up their mind. And I've seen some news programs try to find and poll, quote unquote, undecided voters. And I have a hard time believing anyone who has lived over the last 4 years, who's been paying attention over the last 4 years, isn't aware as of today who they're voting for. I think there are either people who are trying to justify their decision one way or the other, or if you truly are undecided, you just haven't been paying attention. And why you haven't been paying attention, I don't know. Maybe you've been too busy. Maybe you've taken a lot of what is said in the media is just speculative and garbage and not necessarily true. Maybe you're too busy to pay attention. I just and I'll admit I'm a bit biased in this. I just find it hard to believe that unless you've been incarcerated, and even if you have, you have some awareness of what's going on in the outside world. I have a hard time believing you really don't know in this particular election. Maybe other election cycles, I would say that's understandable. But this election cycle, with everything that has been happening in our country over the last 3.5 years, to say that you aren't aware, you're really just trying to justify the way you want to go. As I wrote in my article that's posted on our website, every subsequent election is about further defining the character of our country. And as I look at that in the context of why there is so much energy around this particular election, I truly believe it's that people are looking at America, or Americans are looking at themselves in the mirror, and they don't like what they see. They just don't like what they see. They're coming to realize we are not who we profess to be as a country. And there's one pocket of the population that says you never have been. And then there's another pocket that says, okay, but we've at least been able to hide it. And then there's yet another pocket that says you shouldn't have been hiding it in the first place. We could have gotten to this ideal state a lot faster if we were willing to step aside from our cognitive dissonance and just address the truth of who we are. And I'll admit, that's a lot of big words. That's a lot of big, lofty ideas. At the end of the day, I really feel like 2020 is ushering in a season of us coming to grips with who we are as a people, and then starting to take the steps to reconcile our history towards a better future. You know, there's a lot that we just can't speak to or answer for, because a lot of us didn't live when these original sins were committed. We are byproducts of that history. But I think it is important that we at least be open and honest and willing to embrace what has happened, to embrace the injustice, to embrace the disenfranchisement to embrace hard topics like poverty and classism and, yes, racism, all of these ugly things that as Americans, we're aware they happen, but we don't really like to jump into them because it's messy and it's not always understood or understandable why a situation evolved or created in the first place. But I think this is a season to do the work. This is a season to stop being ignorant to what's happening around us in our world and to begin to embrace and just have conversations about these issues. Like, why is it this way? What can we do to make it better? And there's a lot of work for everyone to do. So there is no shortage of things even the average American can do to start to make life in America better for all. So really, really important season, really important election. No, this election is not going to cure or heal America. Americans must heal each other. We must do the work. We must come with an open mind and an open heart to do the work. We must all do our part. And it starts with being honest. It starts with that reflection that I'm not who I thought I was. We are not who we thought we were. And I'm willing to get to a place where I can do something different so that we can be better. So that's really heavy and deep. And it's a great place to end this particular episode. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your time. I thank you for tuning in. Again, let us know what you think. Hit us up on the website, www.theteam.media, or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Team LLC. And let us know what you think of this edition, our take, our topics. I definitely want to know from an election standpoint, what is going on out there, people? What should we be made aware of? And what can we give some light and some heat and some energy to? So, Lord willing, we'll be back next week with an all new exciting edition. So until then, remember, be good to yourselves and each other. Peace.